Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
P&E.
What's P&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
B&E with you on this Thursday morning. Good stuff this morning. Talking Astros, a win away from the World Series. Braves as well. Week 7 of the NFL opens tonight in Cleveland. Dog Pound. We'll make a pick on that game. Do the Browns have anybody that you recognize starting for them in that game? Also, is Deshaun Watson about to get traded from the Houston Texans to the Miami Dolphins? Get you some more details on that story. It's a lot of top conversations. Texas football, of course, as well at the bye week. But Texas basketball taking center stage. Of course, Chris Beard, head coach, will be down at Pluckers today, tonight, 7 to 8, with the Longhorn Weekly Show with Craig. That'll be airing right here, and you can go out and meet Coach Beard. But joining us right now, Buck, on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Excited for our first visit with the head strength and conditioning coach for the Texas basketball team. On the men's side, he is John Riley. John, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Aaron and Bucky. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, and this is fun. You know, every time we talk to Coach Beard, he says you need to get Coach Riley on the show and hear his story and get to know him. It's going to be fun to get to know you. But let me start with this. What's it like working for Chris Beard on a daily basis?
You know what? I truly believe that he's the best coach in the country. You know, I'm entering my sixth season with him. And, you know, I've worked with coaches where I'm like, you know what, man, I work harder than this man. You know, I know I grind harder than him, and I just know working with Coach Beard, man, I can't say that, man. Like, when I'm home, I'm thinking about, you know, getting these guys better. I know he's doing the same thing. You know, when he texts me 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, we're thinking of the same thing. I love that man. I'll do anything for him.
You know, John, we were 2 weeks ago, we were up in Killeen, we were at Fort Hood, and there's no tougher place than the area up there from where you grew up in Killeen. And I know you've had your battles with the Cove people from Cove, too. So you've been in some battles before, and being with Chris Beard, that's just another one of those battles.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. But, you know, we're excited. We're excited for the opportunity here. You know, we're excited to be back in Texas. I'm excited to be here in Central Texas. I was born in Fort Hood, raised in Killeen. And, you know, I'm happy to be back close to the family.
It's interesting, John. When we talked to Coach Beard, he talks about, you know, getting you on the staff, having you come with him from Lubbock was critical to this move for the whole program. And talk about your where you found your calling here with strength and conditioning and helping young athletes, you know, achieve their best. Where did that begin for you, you know, the desire to help young people get better?
You know, that's a good question. I was – At a young age, I was always curious with movement. You know, I was a kid on the side of a curb doing like single leg squats, just playing around. And you know, I was a decathlete at BYU, and it was there when I got introduced to strength and conditioning, and I just realized that how much of a separator it was. And when I finished college, I started as an intern at BYU. Soon my mentor, Brandon Johnson, he told me, man, you got to get out of here, because really the path into strength and conditioning, usually you start as an intern, you hope you become a GA, then you become an assistant, hopefully a head strength coach. And so that's normally the path. So you know, I started as an intern there, and he told me to leave because he thought, you know, I need to learn from somebody else as well. So I went to University of Michigan. And I was with their strength and conditioning staff. This was with Olympic Sports. But man, I was broke, man. You know, I graduated college at 26. And I'm married with 2 kids. You know, going to BYU, that's kind of, you know, the cycle a little bit around there. And so I'm broke, man. Like, I remember getting a huge Tupperware, the rolling Tupperware at like Walmart. And, you know, we're so broke. All the rest of my food stamps I had, man, I filled the whole thing up with canned foods, and I went all the way to Michigan, man. And while my family moved back to Houston, Texas, because we just couldn't afford, I couldn't afford to bring my family with me. So they're back at, you know, with family, and I'm over there, and I'm living off of my Tupperware for my entire time there, you know, rooming with an 18-year-old college kid. just a different experience there. But, you know, I grinded there. I learned so much from that staff. But usually when you get there, you know if you have a chance to become a GA, and usually they already had a person in line. So, you know, I work hard, and I scramble to find my third internship, unpaid internship. And, you know, I kept contacting a guy named Donnie Mabe, who's the head Olympic strength coach at the University of Texas now here. And I keep emailing him, nothing, keep emailing him. I'm like, man, come on now, you know. And so it got to a point where he finally returned my email, and he just said, man, I'm really contacting you because you kept bothering me. And it really gave me an opportunity to work here at the University of Texas as an intern. And so I was here under Mad Dog and Benny Wiley while Mac Brown was head coach here. And that was a little over 10 years ago. And, you know, I was at the bottom of the totem pole. So, you know, I'm just here trying to grind. And, you know, I didn't have any money. So I moved to, moved back to Killeen with my family. And so I had to, you know, drive 130 miles round trip every day to get to work. And what was interesting is, Benny Wiley. So our first workout group was at 6 a.m. But Benny used to always get to work at 4:45 in the morning. And, you know, I'm trying to prove myself. So, and the rest of the staff normally came in about, you know, 5:15. So I'm like, man, I better get up, man, and be here when he gets here. So, you know, I leave the house at 3:30 in the morning. And, so that I can get there, you know, at the same time he got there. So he knew I was here. And, I'm telling you, man, I'll do anything. I mean, I was the guy cleaning the top of the racks, just, you know, just doing something crazy. Yeah, I didn't care, you know, what people thought of me, man. I was like, man, I got to take care of my family. And, you know, what was interesting as a young guy, you're scanning the staff and you're looking, you know, what can I do to make a difference? You know, what is something, a skill set I can have that's different than anybody else? And they did Olympic lifts. So I was like, you know, I specialized in that at that time. So I was going to be the guru for that. Benny enjoyed stretching, you know, like the pros that came in and different guys. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to be the stretch guru. So, you know, I did all my research and I became that guy. So it was really anything to kind of, you know, separate myself from other people. And, you know, I was just so grateful, man. You know, I remember times, you know, just sleeping in the weight room when everybody left and they didn't know because it was so late. Getting back home at night, you know, I'd wake up before my kids wake up, and I'll get back home when the kids were asleep. Man, it was definitely a grind, but man, I'm so grateful to be here. You know, God has blessed me, man, and I always tell my athletes, man, God will reward hard work, man. You know, toughness isn't a one hit wonder, isn't a one shot wonder. It's consistency, and consistency is toughness. And, you know, you're consistent every day. You're going to get what you want because it's tough to be consistent, man. And those are winners. Those are elite people. And that's what I try to tell our athletes.
Yeah, John, it is good to have you back here in the great state for sure. And talk to us about the way you train different areas of your sport, basketball. But and you've got such expertise in all of that stuff, including football. And I got to believe that flexibility, strength, and explosion is all a part of it. There's now, how much does diet come into play now that you're a strength and conditioning coach? Did you do this on the full?
Oh, man, it's so much. Now, I will tell you this. We do have a dietitian in Sam, but my influence within that, you know, it's I'm with the guys all the time. Mm-hmm. And so relationships is key. Diet is everything, man. I mean, you can't make up for a bad diet, you know, just like sleep. And so we monitor all those different things, and that one of the things is the amount of work. If you ask any of the returners, you know Andrew Jones, you know Jay Stebbers, Brock, you know, you ask those different guys, they will tell you easily, like, man, this is the most amount of work I've ever done in my life, but it's also the most rewarding. And but to overcome that as well, you better be feeding your guys. And so these guys are are eating up to, you know, five main meals a day on top of unlimited snacks. You know, like this is food that they weren't eating. They weren't eating this much before. And it's a strict schedule. It's really, you know, hey, you know, you wake up at this time, you're there, lunch there. It's about nutrition timing and what you're eating. And everything's individualized. It's based off of what that player wants and what he needs. And we also do blood work, knowing, you know, what kind of vitamin or, you know, kind of nutrient deficiencies that they have. And we go from there, planning specific dietary programs for each guy.
John Riley is with us. He is the head strength conditioning coach for Texas basketball. His second stint here in Austin, he was here, as he mentioned, with Benny Wiley and Mad Dog back in the early part of the last decade, 2011, 2012-ish. Now he's back with Chris Beard. You mentioned the returning guys, Andrew Jones and Brock and Jace Febris, these guys. What about the new guys that have come in? Seven transfer portal players and a freshman. You're getting them from all over the country. So far, they had good buy-in to what your goal is and what you want for your ball player, for the basketball team.
Yes, sir. You know what? This isn't our only stint of having a lot of transfers come in. I will tell you what, it's not easy to win year one. That's what we intend to do. And the biggest thing, man, is, you know, some people always ask me, you know, what's your job as a strength coach? And you know, people are like, they always want to hear, I'm here to get them prepared for the game. I'm like, no. The first thing is I'm here to defend the culture every single day. That's what I'm about. You know, tell these guys the truth. You know, I'm a big believer biblically, you know, the truth will set you free. And it's about telling these guys the truth every day. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. You tell them the truth, you know. And if you're there for them every single day, they're going to love you, man. You take care of these guys. And, you know, I'm a big believer in teaching these guys to, you know, also, you know, be humble, man. You know, humble athletes are teachable athletes. And pride cometh before destruction, man. And so, you know, these guys got to come together. They got to be able to hear the truth, accept the truth, and take it so that they can get better. And also have an open communication amongst each other to where they could tell the truth and tell the hard truth amongst each other so we could take the next step. And that's really been my goal from day one. And there was a lot of truth telling, especially over in the summer, and you know, a lot of hard times. But I'll tell you what, man, like we took huge strides, and we still have more work to do, and we're excited.
You know, John, your base and foundation, you did a 2-year mission in Rio, and to learn Portuguese is tough enough. So tell us about those young years. Tell us about that mission that you went on.
So I served a mission in Rio de Janeiro. You know, went there not knowing the lick of the language. You know, I had an appreciation for serving people and just, you know, helping any random person. There's happiness, man, and the serving people and just forgetting about yourself. I'm a big believer, man. Like the best antidote for worry is just work, man. The best medicine for despair is service, you know, and the best cure for weariness is is the challenge of helping somebody who's even more tired than you. You know, those are important, man. And that's what I learned on my mission. And you know, every day I had to wake up at 6 a.m. 7 days a week. You had a very strict schedule. And you go to bed at 10:30 at night every single day, 7 days a week for 2 straight years. And I was in contact with my family twice a year. That was it on the phone. You know, I was immersed in serving other people. That's really, you know, the things that I learned on my mission, the dedication to learning another language, to speak fluently. You know, if you're consistent at things, man, you can get so far in life. And I take that skill set, man, and I teach my guys, you know, every single day, man. You know, even on our off days, you know, your off day isn't really an off day if you really want to be a pro. You know, you should want to come to see me and get a stretch. You should want to come and see me and just, you know, thirst for and hunger for just, you know, what can I learn, coach? You know, what can I do? What more can I do? And that's really you know, the thing I try to teach our guys.
John Riley, the protector of the culture, as you say. And last time we talked to Coach Beard, John, he said Bucky asked about what about a bad practice, and Coach Beard said, "We don't have bad practices. If you're having a bad practice, we'll invite you to leave. but we're going to have a good practice." Is that kind of the culture we talk about? The mindset that it's consistency, as you said, but getting better each day.
Absolutely. You know, I will tell this. I'll tell you this about Coach Beard. You know, entering my sixth season with him, he does not have a bad day on the court. Whether you know, I'm telling you, it is tough. It's easy to say that. You know, I've seen coaches, I've seen assistant coaches, I've seen other head coaches. I've seen them more quiet than other days. You know, like, man, you know, I can see something affecting them, and it's tough. You're human. You know, but I'm telling you, in six seasons, I have never seen Coach Beard take a practice off where he was just down. He's a little bit quiet. Hey, you take over practice. I'm a little under the weather. He coaches practice as if this is the last practice, man. He is intense. And I've seen so many coaches come and even reporters that would come to practice and they'd be like, man, this is the hardest practice I've ever seen. And they used to think it's fluff. And I'm like, all right, well, come tomorrow. Come the next day. Yeah. You know, it is the same every single day. And because I'll tell you what, Beard's strength, just like everybody, your strength is your weakness, man. You know, and his urgency is, you know, it's like patience, man. He's so urgent to win that it's also his weakness at the same time. So he's over there. He just coaches so hard, man. And I just love working for that guy.
Tell us about the conditioning that these guys are going through right now in basketball with the strength and flexibility and change of direction and everything that they've got to go through.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, I will tell you this. One of my strengths, man, as a coach is, you know, our best ability, I like to say this a lot, is our availability. And, you know, the ability to be here 7 days a week for these guys. And they don't feel like they're bothering you. You know, mm-hmm. You know, hey, can you stretch me? I'm like, man, you need to get stretched 10 times a day. I'm here, you know. And that's really opened the doors. But I will tell you what, with this team, I started conditioning them at an earlier state than any of my other teams because I found that, you know, weightlifting, you can get stronger. And there's a lot of mental toughness in that. But I'll tell you what, you throw in conditioning, you get to really know, you know, who's that guy and who isn't, you know. And you get to really see who's going to fold early and who isn't. And I started conditioning this team at such an earlier state because we have such a new team. I need to know who we got. And early in the summer, I was able to figure that out. And we were able to dive into things a lot quicker. But, you know, the big thing within my job is, you know, early in my career, I used to think, you know, just lift heavy, and that's it. And, you know, I quickly understood that, you know, these guys need their bounciness at the same time. They need a little bit of both. And for basketball, to have about 12 out of your 15 guys who can squat 315 or more, back squat is pretty good, you know, for men's basketball. And we'll end up having everybody, you know, get that and more. So there's definitely standards that I have for our guys. These guys lift hard, and it's to a point to where, you know, they work so hard that they don't know any better. They don't know that, you know, these other teams aren't putting in the same work that they're putting in or, you know, coming in, you know, for extra and doing things like that because, you know, they're choosing to do it. You know, they just get lost in the work, and that's always been the goal. And that's how we've been able to win over other teams.
John, you want us over. We're ready to go. Can we get a stretch in later today? I mean, we'll get down there and see, and we'll get this thing going. But we appreciate the visit. We look forward to watching this team develop under you and Coach Beard in year one and beyond. And excited to have you back in Central Texas and excited to watch this team.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bucky, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for joining us.
John Riley, there it is. Yeah,
there's a guy who will have his guys in the fourth quarter ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's a fourth quarter guy right there.
That is, it's quite a story. A mission trip and then climbing the ladder as an intern at three different places. You were a GA. You don't make any money doing that.
No, and I was a graduate assistant. All my deal was to make sure that those dudes had their coffee in the morning for the morning meeting.
Well, and for you know, someone who didn't graduate college till 26 because of that mission, already has a wife and kids, and now he's working for nothing
in
at
Rio.
Places and you know, BYU and Michigan, and then gets a job here with Mad Dog and Benny Wiley back in the day for the Longhorns mm-hmm. on the football side, but swears by the coaching of Chris Beard. So it's going to be fun. As we said, starting with the basketball season, November 9th is the first game. It'll be fun because we're going to have Coach Beard each week to talk about the team, the development, where they go. Every Thursday we'll talk to Coach Beard.
Now we can say we talked to his guy.
And now we've talked to John Riley, and he, you know, you just heard why Coach Beard likes him, the protector of the culture, you know, and that's the deal. Like when you're Chris Beard's with you, it's about urgency and intensity, and you can tell when John Riley gets a hold of him, it's the same breath and the same motto.
No,
and the same
that sounds like a different culture hearing him talk
than
we've heard before.
We'll come back. When we do, we'll pick up the conversations of the morning. Astros and Braves will win away from the World Series. Plus, there's an NFL game tonight and a college game involving an undefeated team from the Lone Star State. Details coming.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Appreciate John Riley, the strength and conditioning coach at Texas, the protector of the culture for Chris Beard.
And there are people that are saying, there's a couple that say that this is this doesn't sound like UT culture to them. You don't have to be a dog to turn into a dog, you know what I mean? You don't have to be a dog. You don't have to have the experiences of a dog that you know you come from that kind of environment to end up like a dog. You just have to be able to, I mean, this guy is talking about coming early, staying late, getting that extra work in, and being coachable. And somebody can turn you into the kind of dog you want to be. Don't necessarily have to be a dog from the get go. Now I'm not going to say it doesn't hurt to come from, you know, to be a true dog, but you can turn into those things. Those things can be taught into you, and that the culture of here, it's not always been that dog mentality. But if you have the right people around you, like a guy like this, the way he coaches strength and conditioning, you can turn into that kind of dog, I believe.
Well,
you know,
it's doing it each day, right? Consistency.
Yeah. And, you got to be. You're going to be early. Be early. You can talk not to be late. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can't. You can. Some people would say, well, your culture is that you come to places late and you leave early. Well, no, you can be taught into that. You can understand. You'll see people around you to continue to do the same things, and they keep getting better at it. Well, then eventually you're going to say to yourself, maybe if I do that, I'm going to be just like that person that continues to learn those lessons. That dude stays about another hour longer or 45 minutes longer. Maybe if I do this, here's what I'll turn into. Maybe that's the secret weapon that helps him out. Maybe if I got here 15, 20 minutes a little bit earlier, it would make a difference. I mean, those things can be taught in you. You don't necessarily have to grow up in that way. I mean, I was never taught that way, but I was around a guy like Tom Coughlin, and I learned that's just the way it's going to be. If you're going to hang with me, you're not showing up here when the time comes. You're going to be here 15, 20 minutes before that time is. And you're, guess what else you're going to have to do? You're going to have to stay late. I know you want to get home. I know you want to go home and hang out with your family, but here's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be another 45 minutes after we're done meeting. Do you want to spend some time talking with me? Do you want to get better? And I did that being around Tom Coughlin. I mean, Ricky Williams was not a dog. He didn't come from a dog culture. That was not him. He had to learn that stuff. And he learned. Sometimes he had to learn the hard way. He was raised by ladies in his life, so he didn't know what the dog life was like. That guy had to be taught that, and there was some hard teaching to do. And did he become a dog? Yes, he did. Won the Heisman Trophy, one of the greatest players in college football. That guy learned how to be a dog. He didn't come from a dog culture. You know what I'm saying? Some of those things can be taught. A lot of those things can be taught if you're willing to do it, and it's not phony that you stay late because, well, I think it looks good that I'm here another 15. What are you getting out of it by being staying later? What are you going to get out of it by coming early? Are you coming early just to hang out, or are you coming early to get something done?
Yeah, trained and learned mentality is what they're going for with the University of Texas, and it's a good conversation. We appreciate it. And again, Coach Beard, if you want to meet him, they'll be out at Pluckers tonight for the Longhorn Weekly program with Craig Way. Chris Beard jumping in for Coach Sark, who's out this week during the Texas bye week. Longhorn coaches, football side, heading out recruiting this weekend. They're going to spend the Longhorn football players taking the weekend off. They practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they'll be off this weekend before coming back to get ready for Baylor next week. But Coach Beard tonight, Pluckers 7-8. Also tonight, you've got a lot of good sporting activities. You've got the Browns and Broncos from Cleveland. This game at the Dog Pound, Buck, and I don't know, you know, Cleveland, to me, as I coming into the season, I felt like they had a top 3 to 5 roster as far as talent in this league. They didn't have a lot of holes, but boy, the injuries are mounting. You're going to have Case Keenum tonight, Buck, handing the ball to not Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt. He'll be handing it to someone named D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah, and Case Keenum's going to have to make some plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some plays himself tonight.
Throwing the ball to Donovan Peoples-Jones. not Odell Beckham or Jarvis Landry. It's going to be a challenge.
Broncos are struggling too.
Broncos are. They started 3-0, and we're getting messages from Broncos fans, and because I was questioning the Broncos at 3-0 because they had beaten the Giants, Jets, and Jaguars, who at the time when they were 3-0 were 0-9 combined. And now they've played some better competition, and they've gotten Polak's pretty good now. The offense isn't as good as we thought. We'll see tonight. Now this is an opportunity for them. You know, they're 3-3, the Broncos, and the Browns are 3-3. But this is a shell of the Cleveland Browns. And so, I mean, in Vegas, they still have the Browns favored by 2 points in this game. I think that tells you maybe the luster off of Teddy Bridgewater and the Broncos a little bit. But I mean, you've got a backup quarterback, a third string running back who's never really played. You're down in your receiver chart. They also have their banged up injuries on their defensive side of the ball. Buck, the Browns are just trying to get through this game, so then they'll get the extra time off and maybe try to get some guys healthy for 10 days from tonight for their next game. And look, they're in a division, the Browns, where you're dealing with the Ravens, you're dealing with the Bengals, who are now 4-2.
Right.
You're in a conference where Buffalo and you want to be in that conversation, but you got to go win some ball games, and they're so banged up. We'll see. Case Keenum has been a really, really nice fill-in when it's time, right? Case Keenum out of the University of Houston, whether he was in Houston with the Texans or with your Minnesota Vikings. Remember, he almost took the Vikings to the Super Bowl year. So it's not like Case Keenum doesn't have some skins on the wall, but he's going to battle with a bunch of backup players tonight. That'll be an interesting game. But you like the Browns or Broncos here?
I like the Broncos tonight.
Do you?
I think the Browns are just hurting too much.
Feels like it.
Yes.
It feels like, how do you overcome all those? But they are at home. Short week travel for the Broncos, whose offense have kind of come to a halt. You know, that was one of the more surprising results of last week. They played the Raiders, the Broncos did, and you're thinking, well, the Raiders are going to be dobber down.
No, they were ready to go.
John Gruden just got fired. They've had a controversial week, and they smacked the Broncos last week.
That could happen again tonight because they still got a good enough defense to smack them.
And, you know, this is one of those, the transitive property. Because I watched a lot of the Denver game with the Raiders, very impressed with the Raiders. And I watched Cleveland play Arizona, and this is when Baker Mayfield was still playing. And they looked terrible. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are a really good team. I'm not saying that, but they had a bunch of penalties. They looked sloppy. They missed a lot of tackles. Now, they just didn't look ready to play. So, and this is a Browns team who was a playoff team a year ago. Kevin Stefanski was the coach of the year. They just didn't look like a buttoned-up football team last week against the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm not sure who to pick here because the last thing I've seen of both of them, they look pretty terrible in their. And so who can find some mojo tonight will be the question. I would agree with you, probably the Broncos, but it is at the dog pound.
Yes.
So, you know, Vegas still says Browns are 2-point favorite.
You know, and for the Texas football team right now, guys, these players are looking to their coaches and they're looking to their head coach to make some things happen too. I know they're the guys responsible. You know what I'm saying, E? When you say in the fourth quarter when guys are having illegal procedures on the offensive line and putting their teams in second and 15 and all that kind of stuff, or first and 15, that stinks. Those are the basics that you don't. That's not on the coach. That's on you. You jumping off sides and you knowing the snap count and that kind of stuff. That's not a coach's deal. But when things start to get like this, this is when the players start looking at the coaches. They're looking to Sark to make some things happen in play calling that they're responsible for executing. But they expect him to come up with some things that the execution, if executed, that they're going to be guys wide open in ways that he schemes them against defenses that he coaches against. They're going to have expectations of him, too, not just him having expectations of them.
Yeah. I mean, no, there's no question. There's got to be more, and you got to ride Bijan Robinson. You can't let a team take him away for
Ever.
An entire quarter.
No.
But really, you know, having been at the game against Oklahoma State, really I've been live for every game but the one with TCU this year. You know, Jordan Whittington not being there makes a huge difference. I mean, it really does. There were points in that fourth quarter last week when Texas couldn't move the ball, where Oklahoma State had all 11 guys mugging the line of scrimmage. Like everybody on the defense was up. They had a little roll coverage for Xavier Worthy, but they were. I mean, it was pretty incredible to have all 11 players within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and they're daring Texas to go down the field. And this is where if you're Sark, you got to take some deep shots at some point. You've got to shake up that coverage. We saw them play press coverage early in that game, and he hit. That was when they hit Marcus Washington on the long pass, the long touchdown. Or I don't know if he scored, but it was a long pass, and they.
But they're going to take Xavier from you too.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. They're not afraid right now of Joshua Moore. They're just not.
First of all, he's not going to catch it. They're like he's not going to catch it and get it anyway.
Well, especially against teams like Oak State, who have veteran defensive backs who like playing that press man coverage.
We'll hit him.
Yeah, and you know we're scared about five. You know, in game time situations, and you got to know Mike Gundy and his, you know, Jim Knowles, his defensive coordinator. They're smart coaches. You know, things are spiraling out of control for Texas. You know, Sark's going to try to lean on five, right?
Right.
He's got to say, okay, I'm going to get my best player the ball. Well, they know that too, so they're going to mug the line and take that away. This is where other guys have to step up and make some plays. And this is where
these are opportunities. That's why I don't understand if you're a kid and you got an opportunity. These are your opportunities.
Sure.
The coach shouldn't have to. It shouldn't be the basics and the basic skills that you've had since high school, like a ball hits you in the hand, shouldn't be on the ground, catch the ball.
Yeah.
That's what you've been playing. That's your receiver, catch the ball. I'm not asking you to go 60 with it. I'm asking you to catch it at 10 or 15.
And that's why, as we've tried to diagnose this all week long, whether it's with ourselves or, you know, Chip was with us earlier, Chip Brown, we had Dan Neal and Quan Cosby yesterday, former players, talking about it. You know, everyone's got their theory. It's the scheme. It's the coaches. It's the fatigue. For me, it's the mentality of the program. It's just the mentality that when things go poorly, they don't respond across the board. And that's when I heard Sark on Monday talk about, we're learning some things, that we're drilling down, we're figuring some things out about our team. And those are kind of things you can't know
until you actually see them, yeah.
Until you're in the foxhole.
Right.
And you're looking them in the eye and going, guys, we need to move the football here. We have to execute some basic plays. And it kind of looks like they play tight. And they tighten up across the board. And is that coming from the coach? We know this. Sark is learning this, and this staff. This happened before in previous years with this program. No Big 12 team has blown as many double-digit leads in the second half as this team in the last three or four seasons, this program. And it's almost like it has to be, and we talked to with John Riley, it's got to be deprogrammed out of this entire locker room, right, that – you know, you gotta. It's not fight or flight, man. When the fight is on, you gotta fight.
That's right.
We're not looking around for somebody else to make a play here, or looking to the coaches to call a play.
You be the one to make that play.
You be the one to make the play.
Right.
If you're a receiver like Joshua Moore or you know, any of these guys, and they're playing press man coverage with 11 guys at the line of scrimmage, you gotta go make a play. You gotta say, hey guys, you should be embarrassed by that to say that. Hey, I can get open on this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have man coverage. They're going to, you know, put all these guys up here trying to stop Bijan. Well, guess what? I need to go beat my man, win my individual battle. But that's got to be across the board. The offensive linemen need to pick up their blocks. You can't jump off sides. The center's got to snap the ball when it's time to snap the ball.
Right. I
mean, all these things the last two weekends in the fourth quarter have been problems for them. To me, what I'm seeing is between the ears more than anything else. The mentality of the team in tough and adverse times is problematic. But I did like from what Chip said earlier that, according to his sources, the coaches have taken the blame. They've shouldered the blame this week during the bye week, saying, look, we're going to get it fixed. We're going to put you in better positions. But that's kind of taking the nice route. The players have to make a place too. They want to keep the players confident in what they can do. But it's got to be a full street here. These guys got to be committed to one another if this thing's going to get better.
Yeah, players tend to look at coaches when things are going bad. They really, really do. They don't look to each other. And those are the people they really should be looking at. They should be looking at each other because they've done this before. You did it in the first half and in the basic fundamental plays that you made successful. When you can't do those basic fundamentals, like get a ball snapped on time or you jump before because you're anxious or you don't want to be slow off the ball, that's on you. Coach has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, this is...
That's part of your job.
Well, take your thoughts. Obviously, it'll be an ongoing conversation in the next week when Texas really gets ready for Baylor.
Baylor will be bringing the fight, by the way.
And we know that. We know that. And as Chip Brown said earlier, maybe the best story in all the Big 12 is Dave Aranda and what he's done at Baylor with a 6-1 football team now that's ranked 20th in the country. Their only loss was at Oklahoma State. They've got a win over Iowa State this year. So, yeah, that'll be a tough place to play in Waco next Saturday. Tonight, Buck, we have two undefeated teams in the Lone Star State this year, the UTSA Roadrunners.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm efforting to get Jeff Traylor on the show next week.
Cool.
Hopefully we can talk to the head Roadrunner, former Texas assistant. And then SMU. Sonny Dykes and the SMU Ponies are undefeated as well. And they play tonight, Buck. They're playing a Thursday night game with Tulane.
That's crazy because speaking of building culture, man, Sonny has built some really kind of cool culture at SMU right now over the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, well, they are now – we'll watch SMU tonight closely because that might be the last – chance for Cincinnati, the number two team in the country, to take a loss down the road because Cincinnati's got a very favorable schedule the rest of the way. Best team they will play from here on out would be SMU and Sonny Dyke. So they'll be playing Tulane tonight. Also, you've got baseball tonight with Dodgers-Braves. Braves, a win away from a World Series. Who would have thought that with an 88-win team that was under 500 after 100 games played this season? But they're on the verge of knocking out the 110-win Dodgers. We'll have that tonight as well. So it's a good night of sports. NFL, college, and baseball this evening. Plus the NBA. We'll preview it all coming back. B&E live, local, and digital on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, some breaking news, breaking news. We just mentioned UTSA, the Roadrunners, undefeated in college football this year for Jeff Traylor.
Yep.
This has been announced this morning. The American Athletic Conference. Of course, we know the Big 12 has raided the AAC for some of their top schools to replace Texas and Oklahoma or bolt into the SEC, including Cincinnati, Houston, going to join the Big 12 in coming years. Well, the AAC has responded, announcing that they are adding new teams to expand to 14 to replace the outgoing teams, and included in there would be the UTSA Roadrunners, the Rice Owls, and the North Texas Mean Green Eagles.
That's good for those guys right
there. Yeah, about that? Yeah, bumping up. This is kind of like just the musical chairs of conference realignment.
But is Tulane already in there?
No. Well, Tulane is, yes.
Okay.
Tulane plays SMU tonight. That's in the American Athletic Conference. But so, you know, the members that are jumping to the Big 12
right,
are out. Texas, of course, and Oklahoma going to the SEC. Big 12 responds by adding BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and Central Florida. Am I got that right? Central Florida? Is that who they add? Who's the fourth that the Big 12 added? We know they're going to add BYU, Cincinnati. Yeah, Central Florida. Those four. So now the American Athletic Conference responds with Charlotte, FAU, UAB, North Texas, UTSA, and the Rice Owls.
I like it.
So there you go. They'll be back to 14. So the rearranging continues of conference realignment. And Tulane will play SMU tonight in college football. Also, there's a Fun Belt game tonight. I know you always like these Fun Belt games.
I love them.
Arkansas State playing Louisiana this
evening. Yes.
This will be a fun football game.
Louisiana still only has, one loss, right?
Yeah, the Raging Cajuns. Of course, Texas beat them week one, 38-20. And by the way, Louisiana Lafayette, last game out, beat up on Appalachian State pretty handily. And, you know, Appalachian State last night beat Coastal Carolina, knocked the 14th-ranked Chanticleers from the ranks of the unbeaten, gave them a loss at the buzzer, 30-27. They got the victory there. And that Louisiana Lafayette game, the Raging Cajuns, interesting because we mentioned earlier the possible replacements for Ed Orgeron at LSU. The name Billy Napier
still
is
hanging in there,
is on the list.
Okay,
because he is, you know, in the state, has recruited the state, has great relationships with.
He was
high
on the list
coaches
before too.
Well, and he's, remember, Billy Napier turned down the Auburn job in South Carolina last offseason to stay at, and was he waiting on this, an opportunity at LSU with Ed Orgeron? But we'll see where that job search proceeds with the, you know, national television game tonight for him against Arkansas State. This team can make a statement.
Big game.
Big game, yeah. So we'll see. I still think Mel Tucker, Michigan State's the name to watch at LSU, but everybody has their opinion on that.
That's awful quick. Michigan State for, 2 years only right now?
At Colorado before that. But he's got the right mindset. He's got the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart tree, defensive toughness, everything LSU does not have right now. All right, buddy. Have a good Thursday.
You too, guys.
Have a good Thursday. Good to have you back. We'll have a Friday edition. It'll be a Bud Light Friday, Football Friday edition tomorrow. Get you all your picks. Lee Sterling will join us. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle will join us tomorrow as well. Get the latest on this Deshaun Watson situation. Chronicle reported yesterday that the Dolphins and Texans could be working towards a trade that could be consummated by the end of the week. So we'll get John McClain's thoughts on that, plus some football nuggets with him. Isaiah Collier, Bucky Godbolt, great stuff as always. Thank you to John Riley, head strength and conditioning coach of the University of Texas. Chip Brown, Horns 24/7, was a guest. If you missed any portion of this show, you can always go back and podcast it commercial free at our website at hornfm.com. Light the Tower is next.